I want to talk about coming to Christ. Coming to Christ. You know, there's a couple of things that preachers have to watch out for and do watch out for that other people don't. And that is, we don't want to make the way to Christ too narrow than the Lord Himself would make it. We don't want to have a message that makes it salvation an easy believism. We don't want to do that. Certainly don't want to do that. And another thing is that people, I don't want to build a false refuge for them, because they can find one on their own. And if they're in a false refuge, I want to tell them where the true refuge is at. And hopefully God bring them out of their false refuges. People's going to have a refuge somewhere. They are. I mean, I'll be all right at the end. Or, you know, I've been good enough. I've been honest enough. I've been true enough. I've been faithful enough. Anything that you've been enough of, that's a false refuge. But when you understand that Christ is enough and He's all you need, then you got a true refuge. And that's what we want. That's what we want to talk about. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, He made salvation to be real. He made it to be powerful. He made it to be a miracle. And we certainly, and one thing I don't want to do, and I don't know of any preacher that would want to do it, is try to get disciples after themselves. But here in 1 Peter, I want to give you three words down in verse 4 that gives a description of a believer and what he is. Three words: to whom coming? To whom coming? To whom coming? That's a pretty good picture of a believer, ain't it? To whom coming? You know, there's a dress for a believer. I'm going to bring a message on that. I thought about that this morning. There's a way that we dress that nobody else dresses like. And it's a scriptural description. We dress like nobody else dresses. Yeah, we wear clothes that nobody else wears. But here's a three-word picture of a believer. To whom coming? To whom coming? Salvation and eternal life is coming to Christ. Our Lord Himself said, "Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. If any man hear my words and believeth on me." Salvation and eternal life is coming to Christ. Is that not how our life began, our eternal life began, that our salvation began? Is by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. We came to Him. We didn't come to a church, we came to Him. Now we had to hear the gospel. It's begun that way. Our salvation is begun that way, by coming to Christ. And it's continued that way. Our salvation is continued by the same way, continually coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day it'll be perfected, complete, absolutely so, by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. At no time, is a Christian or a believer's profession or his experience anything more than coming to Christ. Coming to Christ. We come to Him this morning. We come to Him when we woke up. We come to Him before we got here. We're coming to Him while we're here. That's salvation. That's eternal life. And I tell you what, it's at the very beginning of our experience. That's why Paul said, Hold confidence. Keep confidence at your beginning. And at the beginning, we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. At the very beginning of my salvation, I come to the Lord Jesus Christ. An old hymn writer said it like this: out of my bondage, my sorrow and my might, Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus, I come. Out of my sickness into thy health. Out of my want into thy wealth. Out of my sin into thyself. Jesus, I come. Out of myself, Jesus, I come. And that's what we do. Lord, here I come. I'm coming again. I'm coming again, and I'm coming again. And when we start our pilgrim's journey, and that's what it is, it's a pilgrimage. We're in this world, and it's a pilgrimage. You know, when we started coming to Christ, and our salvation began there, and our eternal life began there, we started a journey. We started a run. We started a race. We started a journey. We started our pilgrimage. And that's what exactly how our life began. And always we journey on in our life as we go through all the things that we go through, with our ups and with our downs, with our trials, with our burdens, with our darkness and with our light, with our health and with our sickness. And I tell you, whatever condition we're in, it's always coming to Christ. Always. I'll tell you what, we're on a journey. And we started on a journey, and on that journey, all our time is spent in coming to Christ. You know, when he talked to the Galatians, Paul talked to the Galatians. Look over here with me in Galatians chapter 3. Look what happened over here in Galatians chapter 3. This is why Paul rebuked the Galatians over here. And why did he rebuke them? Why did he rebuke them? And this is why. Look what he says there in verse 3. Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish? Are you a fool in this way? Having begun in the Spirit, by the Spirit of Christ, by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? And that's what he's saying. You come to Christ, and now you're going to start with your duties. You're going to start with your works. You're going to start with what you're supposed to do. Start with all the things you're supposed to do. You mean to tell me that you're going to start with Christ and then go right back to the flesh? Go back to living, trying to satisfy God, trying to please God, trying to get on the right side of God by what you do? What a fool you must be, is what he's saying to him. And I tell you, did you begin with Christ now at your duties? Well, I'll tell you something. It's not Christ in me at any time. It's just the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. He's my wisdom. How in the world can I know God? How can I know the Bible? How can I have any understanding if he's not my wisdom? If he's not the one that gives me spiritual sense and spiritual life, how am I going to know anything? He's my wisdom in spiritual matters. And when it comes to sanctification, I'm the same sinner saved by grace right now that I was at the beginning. I'm the same person. And that's why I have to keep coming to Christ. It's not. Listen, he's my holiness. He's my sanctification. He's my perfection. And he's my righteousness. There's never any time in my life or your life that we have a righteousness of our own. And when we come to Christ, he gives us his righteousness, and that's the only righteousness there are in this world that God will accept. Amen. Men can talk about their righteousness all they want to, but God said it's the filthy rags outside of Christ. He's the only righteousness that will ever be in this world. I've told you this before. I heard a fellow preaching one time, and he is a Reformed Baptist. And he was talking about, we have to walk a tightrope. Over here's the righteousness of Christ, and over here's our personal righteousness. And if we don't keep a balance on them, if we go too far one way, we'll fall off. If we go too far the other way. And Tim James said, anybody got a gun? He said, that fella, I said, and I'll tell you what happened. Don Fortner got up and preached after him. Can you imagine what Don said? He said, what that fella said to you was a lie. There ain't nothing like that. There's only one righteousness. I've never had a personal righteousness. I never will have a personal righteousness. I won't face God with a personal righteousness. I'll face God with the righteousness of Christ, and I do that right now. Right now. And I tell you, and He's my redemption. He's the one that's going to take this old body and make it brand new one of these days. Oh my. Right now. And I tell you something else, not only did our salvation begin with coming to Christ, and in our journey while we're going through this world, it's continually coming to Christ. And one of these days we're going to get to the end. One of these days we're going to get right to the end of this thing. And you know what it'll be? Christ is all. It's coming to Christ. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He started it, and He'll be the one to finish it. And I tell you, He's the Alpha. That means He's the beginning. He's the middle, and He's the end. He's the whole alphabet from beginning to end. He's everything. And I tell you, that's why John said this. He said, when we see Him, we're going to be just like Him. And that's what the end is going to be. You know what song? Down here we sing a lot of songs. We sang some good songs this morning. But you know, we're going to sing a song in glory. And you know what the song is? Unto Him. Yeah. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. That's what we're going to sing about Him when we get there. We ain't going to sing about nothing else. Could you hear somebody getting up there singing, Well, thank God I finally made it. Here I am. I'm going to thank myself for being here. Me and Jesus got it done, and I crossed the threshold. There won't be one soul there that'll ever say that. Not one. And when Paul finished his course, and it says the scripture said he kept the faith, he preached the gospel, he wrote most of the New Testament, he established churches, he ordained preachers. And what did he say? I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. You know what he described heaven to be? To be with Christ. To depart and be with Christ. And that's a pretty good description of a believer to whom coming. We started coming, we continually coming, and we'll end with our coming to Christ. That's the way it's going to end. And I know this, the redeemed, the saints of God, those that Christ purchased with His blood, will never, ever cease coming to Christ until one day they're perfectly conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. David said, when I'm conformed to His image, I'll be satisfied. And I won't be satisfied to then. I won't be satisfied. Now let me ask you four questions. Now I want you to turn with you to Matthew chapter 13 when I ask you these questions. I want you to turn to Matthew 13 with me. I want to ask you these questions. Let me ask you four questions. And I ask those that's listening and watching this morning, anybody that's listening, anywhere, anytime, any place, I want to ask these four questions. Talking about coming to Christ, to whom coming? Did you one day come up to the front and tell everybody that Jesus saved you? And then you stopped. You started a journey and then you quit. Did you ever do that? Did you run for a while and then lose interest? Then just lose interest. I've seen that happen. Oh my goodness, just lose interest. Did you one time manifest and show great, great zeal? Oh, listen, oh. You're so zealous, you know, I'm just so glad to be here, and I love you, and I love you preaching and all that. Did you have manifest great zeal, and then just laid it over here to the side? Did your faith spring up with great enthusiasm. Oh, you're so enthusiastic. And you had such joy. And then it was just choked out by other things. Well, look over here in Matthew 13 with me. If this is so, if you answered those questions and you said yes, a person that walks away from Christ, walks away from the gospel, just because they made a profession, that absolutely means nothing. It doesn't. It really doesn't. And until you come to Christ, that's all you got, a profession. Just a profession. And there's lots of professions. I've baptized lots of people. But I tell you what, if you ever walked away from Christ, if you came up here and you started your journey and then you got excited and got all enthusiastic and had zeal and then you just quit, you lost interest, I have no problem. I'm not afraid at all to say you've never come to Christ. I just never have. You never have. And I believe I can show you that from the Scriptures. Look over here in Matthew 13. Our Lord gave the parable of the sower. A man went out sowing his seed. And our Lord, he gave this parable of the seeds, sowing the seed to his disciples. And here he explains it to them here in verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. And what he's saying is, understand what I've been telling you. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it, they don't understand it, then that wicked one, Satan, comes along and that which was sown in his heart, he just takes it out real quick. That's the seed that fell by the wayside. And then there's another fella, he received the seed among stony places. The same as he hears the word, and at once, immediately, with joy, he just, oh, that's the most wonderful thing I've ever heard. Yet, he ain't got no root. And he'll endure for a while, but whenever trouble comes along, tribulation comes along, things that don't think that God would do to them, they quit. They're offended by the word. And then he's also, here's the other thing. He that received the seed among thorns, as he that heareth the word. And then the care of this world. Oh, the care of this world. And the deceitfulness of riches. And oh, I tell you, how deceitful they are. They choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Listen to this now. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, he understands it, and he brings some fruit for it. Now our Lord gives us an understanding of what he's talking about. And I tell you what, but here's the difference. There's some good seed sown. This Bible's what we sow with. The Scripture's what we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. It's a seed. And we're a seed sown. When I bought that place down there in the farm, and everybody, Larry knows about this, anybody else knows about a farm, you can't sow seed if you got nothing but a bunch of briars in your field. You got to get rid of the briars. And if you can't go, if you got nothing but rock 2 inches underground, just quick as it gets hot, that grass is going to dry up right where the rock's at. And I tell you, my kids, they cleaned out our garden. I couldn't tell you how many times buckets of rocks they carried out of my garden. Because I couldn't, you can't go nothing among rocks. And that's what our Lord said. You've got, if the seed's going to be sowed, the ground has got to be right. And who can make the ground right? I can't make it right. I can't take out the stony heart. I can't take out the world. I can't take out the deceitfulness of riches. But God can. And God does. And if he don't put that seed in a good heart and make that heart good and make that heart right, then you're going to, no wonder you quit. No wonder you quit. Oh my. But I tell you, they continually come into Christ. They come to Christ, started to. Now I want you to look with me in John 6. I'm going to explain some things here if I can. So Scott used to say, I'm going to explain something. Look here in John 6. Look in verse 44. Look what it says here. Oh my. I want to know Christ. I don't want to be deceived. I want to know Christ. I want to come to Christ. I want to see Him when I get to the end of this journey. But look what he said here in John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. Now, our first coming to Christ is by the free and sovereign grace of God. No man. Now, what are we? How did we come to Christ? How was we brought to Christ? Grace brought us. You know, it's by grace. The miracle is a work of God. No man can come to me except I come. I, the Father, come and bring them to myself. That's what he's telling us here. He said, no man can come to me. Now listen to me. God doesn't prevent people from coming. Right here, right now, God ain't keeping nobody from coming. He's full of grace. He's the God of all grace. He's plenteous in mercy. He delights in mercy. He stood over Jerusalem and wept and said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chicks, and you would not. Our Lord stood and cried one day, if any man's thirsty, let him come unto me. If you got a burden on you, come unto me. If you got sin on you, come to me. Come to me. And I tell you, he says, you will not come to me that you might have to learn. And I tell you somebody else, the church, we here as the church, us people as believers, we would not prevent anybody from coming to Christ. Oh no, that's what we're preaching for. We want people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And is any of you in here that you got loved ones, husbands, wives, children, grandchildren, brothers and sisters, would you keep anybody from coming to Christ? No. No. Why can't men come to Christ? What's the reason they can't come? I'm going to give you the first reason. They don't see the need. They don't see their need to come. Why don't they see their need to come? They're whole. They've got everything they need. They're not sick. They're healthy. They've got a good heart. They've got a good mind. They've got a good life. They've got a good job. Everything they got. Well, I don't need Christ. And I tell you another reason. They don't see anything in Him worth coming for. They see no beauty about Him. They don't see how gracious and compassionate He is. They don't see how tender-hearted and how precious He is and how glorious He is. Oh my. Oh my. In the world, out in the world, people will go out to great extremes to enjoy and go to great extremes to enjoy what they like. But oh my, they don't see anything in Christ worth coming for. Huh? They don't see the forgiveness of sins. They don't see the peace of heart that they could have. They don't see the rest of soul they could have. If they saw what they could have in Christ and would have in Christ, you could not keep people away. They would run and run and run and run to get to Christ. Huh? Oh, the Scriptures tells us their hearts are set on other things that are more important. They have no room for Christ. One fellow said to the Lord Jesus, said, I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me go bury my father. That's always it. Lord, I'll follow you, but got to have me first. I got things back here I got to take care of. When I get them taken care of, then I'll start following you. Nah. There's a man made a great big supper. Invited all, invited people to come. And the scripture says they all with one consent began to make excuse. One said, I bought a piece of ground over here. I need to go look at it. Another said, I bought a bunch of oxen and I've never seen them plow. I got to go out here and see if they'll really work, if they'll bear the yoke. And another one said, I got married. I got married. I can't come. I got married. I got married. I can't come. I can't come. Oh, my. And that said here in verse 44, John 6, no man can come except the Father which sent me. Draw him. Now, when it says draw him, it's not a physical force. It's not. You don't hear voices. You don't see visions. This is a spiritual work in the heart. Huh? When God comes and regenerates us and gives us a new nature, when He comes in Holy Spirit conviction, gives us a sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in that sight of Christ, we see sin as what it really is. And this is how you can tell whether you got a false profession or not. Did God make you a sinner? Or did the preacher make you a sinner? Or did who made you to be a sinner? If God makes you a sinner, you are a sinner from the top of your head to the sole of your foot, from the inside of your body to the outside of it. When God makes you one. And I tell you what, you'll never get over it either. No. It's not. It's a spiritual work in the heart. And the scriptures tells us, in the day of His power, the day of His power, His people are made willing. I've been made willing. You've been made willing? I'm willing right now, ain't you? I'm as willing as I can be to come to Christ. Try to keep me away. All of you together, try to keep me from coming to Christ. You can't do it. Oh my. Blessed is the man. Our Lord said, blessed is the man whom thou causest to approach unto you. Huh? Oh my, He makes us willing to come to Christ. He makes us willing. And men who come to the Lord Jesus Christ, they come, and here's the reason why we come. We see a need. I have a need to come to Christ. Oh, how needy I am. Huh? My sins, David said, my sins are ever before me. You know, in this world, celebrities and famous people and powerful people, they get all the attention. They get all the magazine covers and all bragged on the internet and everywhere else. The powerful and the famous and the celebrities, and they get all the attention. But you know who gets attention from God? The poor and the needy. Let them go ahead and have their acclaim. But oh Lord, He looks on the poor and the needy. Don't He? Oh my. Oh, we see ourselves, and I tell you, this is so true. We see ourselves as sin. We see evil in ourselves. We see ourselves as rebels and guilty before God. I mean guilty. Guilty, guilty. And when we see God gives us a sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see something in Him worth coming for. We see in Him, we see Him as the one God appointed, as God anointed, as the Redeemer. How that woman at the well, she threw away her water pot and she run into the city and run into town and said, come see a man! He told me everything I ever did. Told me everything I ever did. Listen, I forgot so many things that I did. But God knows every one of them. And because of that, I've got to come. I've got to come. I've got to come. Oh my. I tell you what. There's disciples, you know, a whole bunch of them walked away and didn't follow him anymore. Because he says, you know, said, and he told them again, no man can come to the Father except the Father draw him. And they turned and said, this is a hard saying. We can't follow that. And them disciples, he said, you all going to go away too? Oh, Lord, Lord, to whom shall we go? You're the one that's got the word. You're the one that's got life. Huh? I'll tell you something. God has persuaded us. You know what he persuaded us of? That nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ. Huh? I'm persuaded that whatsoever I've committed unto him, he's able to keep it against that day. Oh, he's persuaded us and convinced us that nothing else is more important, more needed than our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. And I tell you, our coming to the Lord Jesus was not of our own will or our own power. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, which were born, not of blood, not of the will of man, not of flesh, but of God. Huh? Oh my. Now, oh, we've come to Christ. Why? Because all that the Father giveth me, what does he say? Shall come to me. Shall come to me. Oh, a picture of a believer. Our first coming to Christ was by his grace. I can't take no credit for it. I can't take no credit for coming to the Lord Jesus. Can you? I can't take no credit for it. I can't receive no praise for it. I can't claim no merit for it. Why? Because he called me and he drew me, brought me to himself. He drew me, spiritual drawing. Let me ask you some more questions. And people ask this, you know. Why do you feel such an awareness of sin and other people don't? Why don't your sons and your daughters, why don't they have this awareness of sin? Huh? I can't explain it. I can't explain it. But God revealed it. That's why I know what I am. Why do you Christians, why do you people who are believers talk about Christ, how glorious he is, how blessed he is? I don't see anything beautiful about him. I tell you what, when I get in trouble, you know what I do? Cross my fingers. Get out my rabbit's foot. I got a horseshoe above my door, and when I go through, I always test that horseshoe for my luck. And down here, people said, if you go in one door and go out the other, that's bad luck. Go out the same door you come in. Boy, wouldn't it be awful? I've done had so much bad luck, I wouldn't know where that's coming or going if I went in one door and went out the other. That's just people's thoughts. It's just people's thoughts. Oh my, I see. They don't see any beauty about Christ. Beauty about him. Why have you as believers, why have you lost interest in the things of the world? The world don't impress you, and the people of the world don't impress you. And you're more interested in getting together and praying and singing hymns, hearing the gospel. I can't explain that. God did it. That's all you can say about it. God did it. Huh? God made it so. God made it so. I don't know how many times I've heard people say this. Well, you know, we got company, so listen, we won't be there this week. We got company. Don't anybody ever have any company that comes to services? Anybody come to church? If you let them sitting at the house by themselves, and maybe one of these days they'd say, well, listen, I'm going to quit going over there, because all they want to do when I'm here, they don't want to visit with me. They want to go to church. They want to go to hear the gospel. That's what they say. Just leave them sitting there. You don't think they're going to steal anything, do you? You don't think they're going to pilfer through your drawers. That's what... Oh my. And I'm going to tell you this. This coming to Christ is an absolute complete coming. You know, when you come to Christ, all of you come. You don't leave no part that doesn't come. Your mind comes, your will comes, your heart comes, your understanding comes, your desire comes, your love comes, your emotions come. Everything about you comes to Christ. Your whole being comes to Christ. You don't just bring your body, you bring you. Everything about you. Caleb wholly followed the Lord. You know, we're so joined to the Lord Jesus Christ, and our relationship with Him is not just a part-time association. That's what most people have, a part-time association. Sunday morning, maybe Sunday night, certainly not Wednesday night. Oh no, can't have association like that. And our reunion with Christ is so complete, and our relationship with Him puts everything else and everyone else in their proper place as it affects that union. We're not going to let nothing keep us and affect our union and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not going to do it. Our Lord said, you love your mother more than me? Stay with your mommy. You love your father more than me? Just stay home. If you love your brothers and sisters more than me, forget it. He said, if there's anything that keeps you from coming to me, just stay where you are. That's what He tells us. Huh? Oh my. Oh, whatever affects wrongfully our relationship with Christ, we lay it aside. And oh my, whatever it is, things or people, oh my, that's what our Lord said. That's what our Lord said. Now let's look back over here in 1 Peter. Let me give you a few things over here and close this thing down. You know, I so want people to know the Lord. I want people to come to Christ. I want people to know Christ. I want to know Christ. Oh, I heard Scott and I've heard Henry say it. I could countless times. I don't want to miss Christ. I don't want to let anything affect my relationship with Christ. In our marriages, we guard our marriages. We protect our marriages. We take great care in our marriages to care for one another and watch out for one another and thank God for one another. Thank God for one another. Well, I tell you what, that's why we are with Christ. We don't want nothing to come between us and Christ. Nothing. I don't care what it is. Huh? And look what it said here in verse 1 then. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. You know, believers lay things aside. He says, wherefore laying aside. What do you lay aside? Malice? That means, boy, you got a ill will towards somebody. And guile. Oh my, you just, butter wouldn't melt in your mouth. That's what guile means. Hypocrisies and envies and all evil spirits. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. As newborn babes, what do desire the sincere milk? What do you desire? Gifts, trinkets, toys, great understanding of prophecy? Oh my. Those who come to Christ, you know what they desire more than anything? To know more about Him. To grow. They want to grow in Him. And you know why they do? In verse 3 says, we've tasted. We have tasted something. What did we taste? We tasted that the Lord is grace and gracious towards us. How often is He gracious? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, until we get to glory. I've tasted it this morning. Oh, it's good. It's good. Oh, it tastes so good. I tell you what, it's the best tasting thing I've ever had. I've had some good tasting stuff, but this is the best taste I've ever had in my life. It's tasting the grace of God. And oh my, it fills my soul. It fills my heart. It fills my mind. It fills me up. And satisfies me that nothing in this world can do. Oh, I've tasted. And I'll tell you what again, let me hurry. This coming to Christ is a continual coming to Christ. We have no permanent rest in this world. We've come to Christ and we'll stay there and keep with Christ until we enter into our eternal rest. An old hymn writer said, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. How many things happen in our lives that we don't know why, but God does. Yeah. And when you don't know what's going on, just bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ and just keep on coming, bringing it. Oh, our Lord said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Oh my, we deny any ability to save ourselves. And once we deny us, it's a continual denying. It's a continual warfare. Now, it would have been absolutely wonderful, glorious, if God, when He first came to Christ, that He eradicated our old nature, took the flesh out of us, and conformed us to Christ and carried us to glory. But He didn't do that. He said, you know what? I pray that you don't take them out of the world, but I tell you what I do pray, Lord. Keep them from the evil one. Huh? Oh my. People say, I've come to Christ, but I still have conflicts. I still have doubts. I still have fears. I still have temptations. What am I going to do about them? Come to Christ. That's what you're going to do. Huh? Well, I've got responsibilities. I've got family responsibilities. I've got to make a living. I've got cares. I've got house payments to make, car payments to make. I've got doctors I've got to see. What am I going to do about them? Come to Christ. And keep on coming to Christ. And then here's the last thing I'll say. Old age creeps on. And our steps get slower. They start to falter. Our mind don't work as fast. And our hairs change. Our colors change. And everything about it. We get our slips. And old age is still on. What are you going to do about it? Keep on coming to Christ. Keep on coming to Christ. Ain't that right? Oh, just keep on coming. Just keep on coming. Keep on coming. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep coming to Christ. Huh? Where else am I going to go? Where else are you going to go? Huh? Let's stand together and sing 318, and then you'll be at liberty to go. 318. Let's stand together. I'll lead this one. 318. Everybody knows this one. Probably don't even need a hymn book. I need thee.
most gracious Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. Come to thee. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee, most holy one. Oh, make me thine. Indeed, thy blessed Son. I need thee, I need thee, I need thee. Every hour I need you. Oh, bless me, my Lord.